neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hinnekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Father, Lord, I do want to thank you tonight for what we've already heard. Thank you for the opportunity to give and the offering. I ask you now to bless the reading of thy word, and may you speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice with me in verse number one here that there's just two or three things that I would mention on the outset of this message and then give you the thought that God has laid upon our heart. I want you to notice the timing of the text here in verse number one, as the Bible said that it is the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, Darius was the uncle of Cyrus, and Darius was also the one that placed Daniel into the lion's den. And so it is the third year of Cyrus who has taken his place here. This would be somewhere around the year 533 BC. And that is the timing of this text here. And then there's the thing in this text. Notice the wording there in verse number one, as the Bible says, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now, the great question in verse number one is, what is this thing? What is this thing? Well, I can say three things about this thing here. Number one, this thing was revealed, the Bible says. Number two, this thing was true, and then this thing was understood. Amen? And what is this thing? Well, this thing is the Word of God. As a pre-incarnate Christ is going to come to Daniel and give Daniel his final revelation in Daniel 11 and Daniel 12. So the important thought that we should remember is that Daniel receives the Word of God. And when Daniel receives the Word of God was revealed, the Word of God was true, and the Word of God was understood. And can I tell you the same thing that's true about this King James Bible tonight? I'm telling you, we have the Word of God. Amen. We don't need a vision. We don't have to see an angel. We have God's word tonight. We have a complete canon of the scriptures. And the same thing is true about the Bible. You see, the Bible has been revealed. Amen. I'm telling you, every word of God, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And so the Word of God, my friend, has been revealed, and the Word of God is true. In John chapter 17, Jesus, when he was praying there, that high priestly prayer, he prayed and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. He said, thy Word is truth. Amen. I'm glad the Word of God is true. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. You know what? We build our doctrine, our beliefs, our convictions, our standards, everything we believe tonight, we base it on the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 that nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. You see, we're sanctified by the Word of God, and the Word of God is revealed, and the Word of God is true, and then the Word of God is understood. Amen. I'm glad that the Word of God God has been revealed. It is true. But tonight you and I can understand the Word of God. You see, the Spirit of God helps us to understand the Word of God. A lost man cannot understand this book. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're darkened unto him. He's dead in his trespasses and sin. But I tell you, when you get saved, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I mean, just as a baby desires the milk of the bottle, when a Christian or when a child of God is born again, they have an appetite, they have a hunger, they have a desire for the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God will feed you, and the Word of God will strengthen you, and the Word of God will help you, and the Word of God will heal you, and the Word of God will encourage you, and the Word of God will comfort you, and the Word of God will lift you up, and the Word of God will convict you, and the Word of God will condemn you, but the Word of God will build you, and the Word of God will grow you, and the Word of God will develop you. I'm thankful tonight that I have a copy of the Word of God. Of faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God tonight. Amen. I don't have all the answers, amen, to the Bible. I can't explain everything in this book. And I'm glad I have a book that is a lot larger than my little mind this morning or this evening. But I tell you, I believe every bit of this book. I believe every jot, every tittle. I believe every chapter, every verse. I believe every story. I believe every parable. I'm telling you, I believe every promise, amen. I believe every dispensation. I believe the author of this book. I believe the finisher of this book. I believe the Holy Ghost that's in this book. I believe the Savior of this book. I'm telling you, it's just good to be able to say tonight that you believe the Bible. I believe it is the inerrant, infallible, unadulterated, inspired, indisputable, indestructible Word of God tonight. Amen. I believe the Bible, don't you? And Daniel has a word from God. This thing that he talks about. But what we have here is Daniel, even though in Bible days in the Old Testament, we know that the Holy Spirit did not indwell believers, but the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit of God came upon David. Isn't that right? The Spirit of God came upon Samson. We that are saved are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. We're baptized by one body, amen, by His Spirit into one body. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living on the inside. And after the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, then we are to be filled with the Spirit. I think you would agree with me tonight that Daniel was a young man, my friend, that the Holy Spirit worked in him and He worked through him. He came upon him. He was a good example of what a Spirit-filled man of God ought to be. And I want to preach tonight on that subject, on the Spirit-filled child of God. Amen? The Spirit-filled child of God. You say, now, Brother Gravely, the Spirit of God didn't indwell the Old Testament believers. And as I've said, I believe that, and we know that to be true. But if the Spirit of God can come upon a man in the Old Testament and indwell him in the New Testament, how much more should we tonight, as believers in Christ, having the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, it ought to be that much more easier for you and I to listen and to obey and to follow the leadership of the Spirit, more so in this hour and in this dispensation than even what it was in that day and time. Daniel in chapter number 10 is somewhere around the age of 92 years old. He's not a young man anymore. In fact, that this vision, chapter 10, when it was given, we know that it's been 2 years since the decree has been given for the Jews to go back to their homeland. Daniel does not go back. Perhaps it was because he had one more vision that God was going to give him, but he could have gave it to him in Jerusalem as well as in Babylon. But maybe that's the reason that Daniel did not go back. Or perhaps it could have been because of his age. It was a 600-mile journey that would have took at least 30 days to have made that trip. And for a 92-year-old man, that would have been a very large task across the desert, especially in those days. Amen. amen, no air conditioning automobile to ride in, having to walk the journey or ride a camel or something of that nature. It would have been a very difficult journey for this man, but God had his way and God had his will. But when we look at this text tonight, we see a good example of a man that lived what we would call in the New Testament a spirit-filled life. And how much more important today is it for us as the children of God that we must live the spirit-filled life? You say, preacher, you preached on that Wednesday night, and I know that, and I'm preaching on it again tonight because I think it's very important. I think it's something we don't hear a lot of preaching on anymore, and I think it's the greatest need in this hour for us as believers tonight. We're to be saved, and then we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to say tonight, when you think about spirit-filled saints, I would say, first of all, according to verse number one, what I would say about spirit-filled saints is that they are sharp. Because the Bible said that Daniel understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. When you read the book of Daniel, you see that Daniel saw things that other people didn't see. He heard visions from God that others did not hear. But Daniel also lived in a way that others did not live. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took their stand as well as Daniel. But Daniel lived in Babylon almost all of his life, but Babylon never lived in the heart of Daniel one day. Daniel lived in Babylon just like Daniel would have lived when he lived in Jerusalem. And because of how Daniel had understanding, Daniel was able to see into the future. Daniel could see what was coming down the road. Amen. I want to tell you, just like the brother said a while ago, we have the Bible and we can have understanding and we can see what's coming down the road. Amen. Listen, we know that in America, many calls this the golden age, and they're talking about peace in the Middle East, but we know that there's only one person that will ever bring peace to the Middle East. There's only one person that will put an end to all wars. There's only one person that's going to bring worldwide prosperity in a way like the world has never seen it before, and that is the Messiah. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know how we know that? Because this thing has been revealed, and this thing is true, and we have understanding of this thing. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what Washington says. I don't care what world leaders say. I don't care what anybody says. The Bible, my friend, says that there's only one that's going to bring peace to this earth. There's only one that's going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. And thank God if you're saved and you know your Bible, you can rest in it tonight. Amen. But just as sure as Daniel could see some things, if you'll walk in the Spirit, God will show you some things. He won't show you anything outside the bounds of the Scripture. He won't show you a new revelation. If somebody come in and say, well, I have a new revelation, well, I don't believe any of that. Because we have everything that God wants us to have. There's no new doctrine, there's no new revelation, but I'll tell you, if you're saved and you're spirit-filled, thank God you can know what's going on, not just in the world, but you can know what's going on around you. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. He'll take the Word of God, and when you read your Bible in the morning, He'll take that heavenly highlighter and give you what you need. He'll give you guidance and direction and leadership. You'll be able to discern the day, discern situations in your life. We must pray for discernment, but how we get discernment is we keep our nose in the Word of God. You see, we can pray for discernment till the cows come home, but if we don't read the Bible and if we don't fill our heart with the Scripture, if we don't let the Word of God dwell in us richly, if we don't memorize the Word of God, to hide the Word of God in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against thee. If you and I don't fill ourselves full of the Word of God, then we will not have the discernment and we will not know the leadership of God when we need it. Amen. Now, God does not tell me everything He's doing. He doesn't show me everything He's doing. And God doesn't speak to me some days like He does other days. What I mean by that, if you read the Bible, He's speaking to you. Isn't that right? D.L. Moody said, when we pray, we talk to God. And when we read the Bible, God speaks to us. That's a good way to have a conversation with God. But what I'm saying is there's things in my life as well as in yours that we pray about, but we don't have no answers for them. We pray about them, we seek God's face, we go to the Bible, but yet we don't see the answer. Now why is that? Because it's not time for us to see the answer. God reveals the answer in his own time. And then there are things that we pray about that God does not tell us, for he does not want us to know the answer. You know, God reserves the right to not tell us everything. There's some things in life that we will face and go through that we will not know why those things happened. In eternity, they will not matter. Well, how could God use that in my life without ever giving me an explanation? Simply this way. God does not owe us an explanation. He saved our soul from hell. He rescued us from the burning. And he simply wants us to learn what it is to walk by faith and to trust him and to lean on him even when we cannot see, even when we do not know, and even when we do not understand. And the only way he can really teach us that is to sometimes let us walk through some things and never give us a full answer, but to know that he is still God, to know that he is still in control, and to know that he is going to do what's best in all of our life. But having said all of that, I will say this. I'm glad that if you'll walk with him, and if you'll talk with him, and if you'll fellowship with him, when you need to know something, and when God knows you need to know something, you know what he'll do? He'll turn the light on. He'll give you the words. He'll shine the light. He'll give the answer. He'll give the wisdom. He'll give the guidance. He'll open the door. That's who he is, and it's what he knows. And spirit-filled people know that tonight. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll exhaust every resource, running to everybody, seeking answers. When God wants you to seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And his righteousness and all these other things shall be added. Spirit-filled people, they're sharp. And then they're steady. Look what Daniel says in verse number 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Notice this, 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel was steady for 3 full weeks, fasting and praying. You know, spirit-filled people, you don't have to worry about them. They're steady. Spirit-filled people, they're going to be in their place. Spirit-filled people, I'm not saying they don't get sick, I'm not saying that, but they're just going to be faithful. Faithful in prayer, faithful in their Bible reading, faithful to church attendance, faithful to tithing. You don't have to worry. They're not going to get shaken up too much. They don't have a bunch of drama in their life. They're not all the time, you know, got something big going on or something little. They're just going to be faithful. You know, that's the kind of Christian that I want to be by the grace of God, is just be steady. They're not going to have big announcements to make all the time. And they're not going to say a whole lot. In fact, to most people, they're just probably going to live a boring life, but they're going to live a steady life. Amen. Hey, that's what God is wanting us to do. He wants us to be steady Christians in this hour. You somewheres in your life, you got to get to the place where you quit this ping-ponging around. Amen. You can't be up one day and down the next, in one day and out the next. I mean, you can't always have drama in your life. Everything can't be a valley. Everything can't be a trial. Every little thing that happens in your life, you somewheres got to learn not to whine about it all the time. You say, well, preacher, that sounds a little bit rough. Well, the only way I know to say it is this. Babies, they whine, don't they? Babies whine. They cry. You don't have to teach a baby to cry. And then they whine, and sometimes it's real, and sometimes it's not. Hey, one of the grandkids, she's a pro at it. I looked at her the other day, and little Sadie Mae, I looked over at her, and it was like I could literally see it growing on her face. You know, it started out, and it started growing. I said, what is it? What is it? And she was like, and I said, stop. And she didn't. And I said, if you don't stop, I'm going to spank you. And as soon as I said it, you want shit sweat? She was working up a whine. I don't want to do that as a Christian. You got to be steady. You know, there are people that go through far deeper things than we have ever faced. Some people never know what they go through because they're steady. I think that's you say, well, Brother Gravel, are you saying don't come and tell? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when somewhere's in life, you got to learn to quit telling all. You got to learn to be, you got to learn to, you know, we must bear one another's burdens, but the Bible also says that every man must bear his own burden. Why would God say, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ? And in the same chapter, he said, every man must bear his own burdens. I'm going to tell you why. Number one, we all have that responsibility to bear each other's burdens. But number two, there are going to be some things in life that we are going to have to bear. We can't tell nobody, or we shouldn't tell nobody. We should only tell the Lord. We have to learn to walk with God alone sometimes. I'm not saying don't tell your wife. I think you ought to tell your wife or your husband everything. But there are burdens in life that I see a time when people they lean on so many shoulders, and while that may be good to a point somewhere, remember that old song, "Learning to Lean," learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding, what does that songwriter say? He knew something about that. Finding more power. Where'd you find all that power? Than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. Learning to just say nothing to nobody, but find a secret place and tell God everything that's in your heart. I'm talking about that's how you become steady. You know, those children, they whine. It's okay. I mean, sometimes I like for them to whine. And sometimes I don't like for them to whine. I'm like, go see your nene. I can't help you with that. I'm sorry. That's not my department. But then them girls, you know, I mean, I've had girls, so you know how it goes. Them girls, when they come in, they whine. I kind of like that. I'll pull it up. But you know, only let them whine so much. But that would be a tragedy if they're still doing that at 15 years old. It's cute when they're 1, 2, 3, and 4, maybe 4. But it starts becoming a tragedy because it becomes, you know, when you've been saved 20 years and you're still needing everybody else's shoulder to lean on, somewheres you got to learn to grow up, don't you? Somewheres you got to learn to just say, how do I do that, preacher? Find you a closet and get along with God. And don't tell anybody. Just tell the Lord and see what God does. And then when God does it, don't tell nobody that. See, what do you mean? I don't tell nobody. Isn't it good some things just to enjoy with you and God? I'm not saying don't come to church and say God answered a prayer. I'm not saying don't come to church and say, well, the Lord blessed me and I tell you, he helped me. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying let's, you know, when Nehemiah walked out over those walls and he looked out over Jerusalem that day, there's a statement, God gave it to me 27 years ago. Matter of fact, God gave it to me. Nehemiah's walking out over those walls and he views the broken walls and the burned gates and here it is, Nehemiah made this statement. He said, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do. Some things should never be told to anybody. Spirit-filled Christians know that. And then there, I would say this, they're simple. I think about Hezekiah, the 4th and 20th day of the first month, and he said, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, the Tigris River. He's just sitting down by the river. Here he is. He's not. It's not the palace lifestyle that he's enjoying, but he's enjoying God's nature. Spirit-filled people are simple. They're humble people. We must be humble. God, help us to be humble. Humility does not come without asking God to help us. We need that. I don't want God to humble me, but we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And we must ask God to reveal any pride that needs to be revealed, anything that's in our heart that grieves the Holy Spirit. Anytime that I can see others' faults more than I can see my own, and I'm quick to judge others and soft to judge self, those are times we must ask the Lord to show us. Spirit-filled people are not quick to pass judgment, amen. A spiritual man will judge all things, amen. But he won't judge all people, amen. I mean, I may look at what somebody's doing and say, that's right, and I'm not going to do that. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to judge that person, amen. Just let God be their judge, amen. But when people are doing wrong, a spirit-filled person knows that that's not pleasing to God, amen. And I'll tell you, that still small voice will speak to you. He'll tell you, don't go that way. Don't do that thing. Don't say that. You you can even think a thought and the Holy Ghost will say, you shouldn't think that. Why? Because he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Well, there's been times, as I mentioned this morning, I wanted to say something. The Holy Ghost said, you better not. You better not laugh at that. You better not make that comment. Talking about he's spiritual. Notice in verse number 5, he said, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, I like this, a certain man. He's clothed in linen, with whose loins girded about with fine gold of Euphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Remember when Jesus was praying on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible said his clothing, it flashed like lightning. The Bible said his countenance, the brightness of his countenance, amen. His eyes as a lamp of fire. Revelation 19 said his eyes were as a flame of fire, amen. And then the Bible said his feet and his arms were like color to polished brass. Judge me, his voice of his words as the voice of a multitude. Who is it that he's seeing coming across that great river? He's seeing the one that made that river, amen? The one that made the rocks and the trees. He's seeing a pre-incarnate Christ. What are you saying? I'm saying spirit-filled people, they will see what others don't see, but they'll see the Lord, amen? I'm telling you, if you walk with God, he'll reveal himself to you. If you pray to God, he'll reveal himself to you in prayer. And I tell you, the way gets sweeter when you walk with him. It's not all about works, but thank God when you live for Jesus and you walk with Jesus, there's fellowship. Hallelujah. If you're saved, you either live carnal or spiritual. How do you live? You say, Brother Gravely, I don't want to live carnal. Well, you just got to quit doing carnal things. It's that simple. You say, we're all carnal to an extent. But you can't watch 4 hours of television and be spiritual. I don't think you can watch 30 minutes of it in this day. You can't watch television and be spiritual. Nobody ever watched 2 hours of television and said, well, I tell you, I feel closer to God now. No, that's not happening. But you know, people do that. They'll watch 4 hours of television at night and won't even read their Bible. And they wonder why they have doubts and fears and problems. I'll tell you, you can go to the preacher and he can pray for you. But we're not a pope. You got to put some of them things away. Well, I don't want my children to go to hell. Boy, you better not set them in front of a television all their life. Young people, you can't play video games for hours and hours. And I tell you, all that stuff. Well, I'm telling you, I saw the other day, I was walking through a place of business and they was advertising some video games there, and I didn't stop. I'm not interested in that. But I saw them, and I saw the gore and the blood and all that kind of stuff. I wonder what's wrong with our young people today. And a lot of adults. You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But I'm just saying that if you want to walk with God, you can, but you gotta cut them things out. You can't be spiritual listening to country music. Amen. All that beer drinking and adultery and running around. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want my spouse listening to that stuff. That stuff get in your heart, amen. If you can put it in your head, it'll get in your heart, amen. And the next thing you know, they're not satisfied with you. And I'm talking about you wanna walk with God, you gotta play some heaven in your home. You gotta play some music. You can't be spiritual watching or listening to country music. You can't be spiritual listening to rock music and all that contemporary music that just sounds like soft rock music. In the 80s coming up, you know, you can't listen to all that. I tell you, if you'll put in sweet hour prayer, if you'll put in one of them old songs, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. If you put some preaching going on in your house, you say, Lord, if my kids come home and there's preaching going on in the house, they'd have a heart attack. Well, it ought to not be that way, amen. I'm talking about if you want your home to be spiritual, then just go sit down together and say, you know what, we're going to change some things. You know, you can change things. You don't have to keep doing the same thing. You won't die if you quit watching television. Read your Bible with your wife, husband. Won't you read a couple chapters a day? You know, it takes about 20 minutes to read two chapters a day with your spouse and have a word of prayer for your family. And it takes 45 minutes if you drink coffee. But I highly recommend it. You want your marriage to be closer? Just read two chapters. Pray together. Ask God to save your children, your grandchildren. Pray together. If God will fix every problem in your marriage. Now I'm going to tell you something. In all the years of pastoring, I know this tonight. I'm not a marriage counselor, but I know this tonight. I know that it does absolutely no good to try to counsel one member of that couple and the other one not be there. It's pointless. Amen. And I know another thing about it. I know that if people don't stay in their Bible and if they don't stay on their knees, then all the talking you do to a preacher will not help you one bit. Amen. You understand that? Because there's no magic right here. There's no magic. We don't believe in magic. There's no magic wand. But I do know this. That's the negative. I know the positive. I know that every couple that will spend time in prayer together just a little bit each day, and every couple that will read their Bible together, there's not one problem you'll ever have in your marriage that God can't fix it. Do you know that? But you got to want to. And if you really want to, then God can. Am I telling you the truth tonight? All these problems we deal with today in our churches, I'm not talking about sinners, but all these little problems we deal with in our churches, they all come back to one thing. Am I walking with God? That's what they come back to. There's not one problem that you and I will ever have, and I'm telling you, I have a lot of problems. I have a lot of failures. I wished I could stand up here and tell you I did, but it's fact. But I can tell you this much. There's not one problem in my life that God can't fix if I just walk with Him. Every day, just walk with Him. And you know how that flesh is. Some days you have more problems than others, don't you? Well, some days I've just got a big F in some areas. And I've said, Lord, I need to do better at this. God, help me with this. You got a besetting sin tonight, you walk with God, He'll help you get over it. You got a fear tonight, walk with God. It won't go away overnight, but it'll evaporate over time. You know why? Because perfect love casteth out fear. You know why? Because the Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know why? Because the Bible said what's that verse, Philippians 3:8? How does that verse start? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report. There's eight things there. Whatsoever things are lovely, true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, here's what he said. Think on these things. As a man thinketh in his heart, what we think about is who we are. I tell you, if you want to be spiritual, all you got to do is think about Him. He got to praying about Him. He's wonderful. He's holy. He's righteous. Jesus is wonderful. He's the dearest friend we ever had. Don't that just make you feel better? And all we're doing is thinking about Him. One day our eyes are going to behold Him. But until then, just thinking about Him. Thinking about how that He's never failed, and thinking about how much He cares for us, and thinking about how much He wants to walk with us, and thinking about His love, how unconditional, and how much He loves us, and how much He prays for us. He told Peter, he said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. I'm talking about if you'll think on these things, you can think yourself happy. You can think yourself out of a lot of things in life. I'm talking about spiritual people. They've seen Him. Amen. When's the last time you opened the Bible and just read and you saw the Lord? When's the last time you got on your knees and prayed and God just passed by and you felt His presence and you felt His touch? When's the last time He leaned over and He whispered in your ear and He spoke to you in a personal manner? I'm talking about spiritual people. They see Him, don't they? And I'll say this in closing, they're separated. He said in verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men, here it is, that were with me saw not the vision. They couldn't see. God separated Daniel. If you'll walk with God, he'll separate you. Young people, don't worry about losing friends. If you'll walk with God, you'll lose the wrong ones and you'll gain the right ones. If you'll walk with God. Don't worry about the crowd. You walk with God and God will separate you from this world. And he'll separate you to the things of God. Amen. And then finally, I would say spirit-filled people. Probably should say more about separation. But finally, spirit-filled people are submissive. You know where we find Daniel in this text? In verse number 9, look at this. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep. Look at this. On my face. In my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees. You know, spirit-filled people, they're submissive tonight. You find Daniel in a humble place on his knees. And you know, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's this easy. Surrender to God. Surrender that old stubborn will. Surrender that hard heart. Surrender. Say, Lord, my tear ducts have dried up, but I surrender them to you tonight. Lord, I've had jealousy in my heart, but I surrender it to you tonight. That's all you got to do is tell him about it. Lord, I've had bitterness, but I want to surrender that bitterness to you tonight. I want to be close to you. Lord, I've got a long tongue. I don't know how to keep my mouth shut. And I surrender that tongue. I don't want to give an account for saying things I shouldn't say. Lord, I stir up gossip and trouble. And I cause problems. And I have an unforgiving spirit. And a stubborn will. All these things I mentioned. But I want to surrender that to you. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Tonight as we stand, if you need to come, while she plays softly, what page are we going to sing? Page 452.